And good afternoon, and welcome to The Lunchroom, live on Radio Caribbean International. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., and it is Wednesday, a rainy Wednesday, 30th of day of October, day number 302 of the year 2019. We're on to show number 166. And on the menu today in The Lunchroom, we'll be speaking with Mr. Peter Lansico, former diplomat, and we'll be speaking about a number of related issues, international development, international relations, and Russia's foreign policy, as well as a letter which he recently penned to the European Union regarding the Owen King EU Hospital. At The Lunchroom, we aim to be an informative public advocate, and of course we hope to serve you food for thought, and you can help us set that menu with your calls, your questions and your comments. And our main line number here is 452-3046. That's 452-3046, and as well you can call in via WhatsApp or message in as well, and the number is 724-0008. That is 724-0008. And if you'd like to follow us online, you can do so via our website, rcistlucia.com, as well as the ability to download all our old shows as well. They're on podcast. And you can also stream us live on Facebook. Just search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. And remember to please like and share that as well with your friends. And of course, if you are famished out there, you can check out our Dela Cuisine participants, Hardest Hard Restaurant and Bar, Eugenie's Delight, KFC, Bozen's, and Massey Stores, New Dock Road. And a few birthday wishes, in fact, quite a number of them, for October the 30th, go out to Mrs. Anya Whitfield, Mr. Chris Wyatt, Miss Mervia Joseph, Miss Jenny Jules, Mrs. Berthia Paul, Miss Chanel Leo, Miss Safia Paul will be our call-in guest tomorrow at the lunchroom, as well as Miss Adara King. And we wish you all a very pleasant and wonderful birthday. Do enjoy it fully. And of course, if you want to send in any birthday wishes, you can do so via lunchroom at rcistlucia.com. Just email us. And a few notable figures born today on October the 30th include Christopher Columbus and the second president of the United States of America, John Adams. And just a bit of history for October the 30th, on this day in 1817, Simon Bolivar becomes the president of the Third Republic of Venezuela. In 1944, during the Holocaust, Nazi World War II, Anne and Margot Frank, these two young Dutch girls, are deported from Auschwitz in Poland to the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp in Lower Saxony in Germany, where they die from disease the following year. In 1961, in the Cold War period, the Soviet Union tests a 58-megaton hydrogen bomb, and that was named the Tsar bomb. And in fact, was the most powerful nuclear weapon ever detonated. In 1995, Quebec citizens narrowly vote to remain within the Dominion of Canada in their second referendum on national sovereignty. And now we move to our dish of the day. Daily Dish is brought to you with the kind compliments of Tires Plus and SGD Engineering, agents for Inco Tools in St. Lucia.
We have tests for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tires Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss.
We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosse Jougros Delay, and Clark Street in J4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939.
Tiles Plus.
A poor workman always blames his tools. Well, Inco Tools has come to solve this problem. Located in the Evergreen Plaza right next to Massey Stores in Rodney Heights, we give you high-quality, durable tools at unbeatable prices. We stock tools for carpentry, gardening, AC and electrical technicians. We have hand tools, power tools, air tools. We even have household tools for the ladies. We also stock generators, water pumps, air compressors, AC units, refrigeration parts, refrigerants, and solar water heaters. Call us at 452-5185 for more information. And ask about our 3-month warranty on all tools. Inco Tools. Make the world in your hands.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
And welcome back to the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. Now, today is a very wet and rainy Wednesday. And in fact, very interestingly enough, just 2 days ago, I was discussing with the sustainable development advocate, former sustainable development minister, Dr. Jimmy Fletcher, about issues related to climate change, of course. And one of the things that he brought up, especially now that we are on a flood warning, was the proposal and assistance that was being given to St. Lucia for an early warning hazard system. And that came with radar capability and the whole gamut of resources, technologies to be able to provide that kind of system. And that was supposed to have been funded by the Italian government at a cost, he indicated, of €2.5 million. That's about €9 million EC dollars. And unfortunately, even though the agreement was signed and waiting to be delivered, we have not seen it as yet materialized. And of course, it's important within this context because we really sometimes get ourselves caught unawares or without suitable understanding of the likelihood of flooding. Now, of course, sometimes these things are very difficult to actually predict because it depends on a number of things. Sometimes even the moisture in the soil, how saturated is the soil, its ability to be able to actually take on more water, likelihood of would in fact impact flooding. Of course, the other issues in terms of infrastructure and drainage, and that issue has continuously come up over the years, but we certainly did see quite a bit of flooding in Castries a couple of weeks ago, and today the area, the flashpoint, became the cul-de-sac area, where there has been quite a bit of flooding there. Hopefully, it's not to the extent where individuals have lost any major property, but certainly it is. It does have an impact on our transport networks, on the ability of people to be able to get around, do business. And so it is very important for us to be able to plan accordingly when we're dealing with such issues, particularly within this very unpredictable period, given that we are being more and more affected by climate change. We can, in fact, and this is what is being told to us, expect more flooding, expect more high-impact weather systems as the years roll by and as matters become worse. We're hearing of course, issues of sea level rise. And when you're looking at areas like Castries, which we well know has been reclaimed land for over the centuries, we have to be very mindful of that in terms of our long-term development as well as land use planning. Now, areas like cul-de-sac, the cul-de-sac area in particular, it's very well known for flooding. It is, in fact, a floodplain, and nature is going to act accordingly. And so, yes, there is a possibility that we can actually take action to ensure that we have better drainage infrastructure, we have single-span bridges to ensure that there's less impediment of flow in the river systems. You have to look at things like river alignment, realignments, widening, desilting projects as well, the raising of land, whether it's pumps, whether it's dikes, levees, check dams, retention systems, retention ponds. There's a whole host of engineering solutions, no doubt about that, but they all come at a price. And so the advice in situations like that is you simply avoid these areas. And it seems as if we are going in the opposite direction. We have decidedly gone ahead to ensure that we put more infrastructure, more manufacturing and industrial sites. And even quite recently, it seems that there's a KFC going to be built down in the cul-de-sac area without yet having the requisite infrastructure to support a lot of that investment. So if we are going to be looking at that area for more development, I'd remember back in the 1990s, cul-de-sac was even proposed as the new Castries. But of course, that would have required a massive injection of capital to look at raising of the land in that area. So still a lot to be done, but let's see how we can all plan out accordingly. And it means, therefore, that when we look at projects, the impact, environmental impacts, are always very critical. So if we're hearing about, for instance, a new Hewanora International Airport, new terminal, and that terminal, we're being told, is closer to the river, the VA4 River, being placed closer into a more into an area that already we know floods. So just imagine the potential for impacts there. We're hearing about a development at Shock, a Shock Resort. It's been proposed for quite some time. But again, that risk, when I drove down this afternoon, crossing that Shock River, and it was already swollen almost to the brim, to the height of the bridge. So we have to think about these things when we're looking forward, and it is certainly of great concern. But that's all the time we have right now for our Dish of the Day.
This has been The Daily Dish.
Plus. Style. Come plus. Get your tiles. Style. We have style. Style. Plus. We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with this tell like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss.
We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossy Jugrosile, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939.
Tiles Plus.
A poor workman always blames his tool. Well, Inco Tools has come to solve this problem. Located in the Evergreen Plaza right next to Massey Stores in Rodney Heights, we give you high-quality, durable tools at unbeatable prices. We stock tools for carpentry, gardening, AC and electrical technicians. We have hand tools, power tools, air tools. We even have household tools for the ladies. We also stock generators, water pumps, air compressors, AC units, refrigeration parts, refrigerants, and solar water heaters. Call us at 452-5185 for more information and ask about our 3-month warranty on all tools. Inco Tools, make the world in your hands.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. Thanks for sticking with us here at Radio Caribbean International. Now, my guest in studio today is perhaps known very well by some individuals, perhaps by others not so well. And he is Mr. Peter Lansico. Mr. Lansico, this is your first time here into the lunchroom, and welcome. Thank you for joining us. To add to your mix, I think what is on your plate today is probably going to be centered around St. Lucia's international relations policy, but also on certain things that you've been very passionate about, which we've seen in social media, in the news, in terms of certain advocacy that you've been doing in the case of healthcare in particular. So, thank you very much, Mr. Lansico, for joining us. And perhaps you can start us off by telling us about who is Peter Lansico.
Colleagues, thanks for the invitation. It's nice to be here. I want to say very briefly that you yourself may not realize how much you mean to me, being the son of Colleagues George. Your father has always been one of my great mentors. And I have walked many a road and trod many a path with him in mind in terms of the way I live my life and things I do, things I say, and things I don't say. So it's good to be sitting here next to you and meeting you for the first time, I think. There's not much to say about myself except that I've been very lucky. I consider myself a very lucky St. Lucian. Lucky because I got an education thanks to the people of St. Lucia. You may know that I studied in Cuba for 6 years. I studied economics. I finished a master's degree in economics. I studied in many other countries and several other universities after Cuba. But Cuba was my alma mater in that sense. That is after.
And that's where you got your grounding.
I got my grounding in Cuba after a film foundation at the E-level college. I had the great fortune to have worked with Osbert Duvay and Dwight Venner. These were my two principal technical mentors in terms of development economics, the application of economics to development.
And that was with the government of St. Lucia?
With the government of St. Lucia, yeah. I had the great fortune, the great privilege of having begun my work as a young technocrat in the economic planning section of the Ministry of Planning, Personnel, Establishment and Training. You couldn't have had better technical mentors than Dwight Venner, Osbert Duvey, and some other economists who made who really put St. Lucia on the map in terms of a path forward to our economic development. Then, still speaking of who I am, which I say is not much, after the stint in the economics department, I had the great privilege of being transferred to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, where I began my other essential stint in terms of matters technical. It was great to have worked with my colleagues in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and to get an appreciation that not everything was just about economics. There's international relations, a very important sphere. And so I spent a number of years in foreign affairs until I was eventually promoted to Washington, D.C., where I was what you call the minister counselor at the embassy. The minister counselor is, in essence, the deputy chief of the mission. It was a wonderful stint for 2 years. Then I returned to St. Lucia after my posting had ended in Washington and found myself back at the ministry, of course, because, in essence, I have been a foreign service officer for many years. Then I was promoted to Cuba to reorganize the mission. And so under my stint in Cuba, we became a full-fledged embassy. That was definitely the most rewarding point of my life in the public service. And I never wasted an opportunity to tell people that I had the great privilege, the tremendously great privilege of being the one who introduced the IK program from the Cuban government to the people of my country. And if there's one thing I've done for St. Lucians that I will never forget, is that particular aspect, where I was able to bring over 3,600 St. Lucians to get their eyes repaired in Cuba. And this is a crowning, for me, this is a crowning moment of my service to my people, thanks to the education that they gave me through the government scholarship in Cuba. That's basically what it is about with me.
Indeed. You've seen both sides. You said you were in Washington and you were in Havana, both sides of a strait, which is not a very pleasant place in terms of relations since the 1960s, since the revolution in Cuba. Cuba seems still to be under immense pressure from the United States of America, even more so now under the administration of President Donald Trump. We're hearing, for instance, of new embargoes, stops in attempts of people to travel from the United States and Cuba. Where do you see that actually panning out? Do you think that in the future America will, in fact, come to a point where that embargo will be no more?
They will have no choice. They will have to stop the hostilities. And there will come the time when they will stop the embargo. Because if there's one thing the Americans have realized by now, and Barack Obama certainly realized it, brilliant man that he is, was that you're not going to make the Cubans bend. The Cubans are not going to bend. They have suffered, they have struggled under the embargo, but they're not bending. Because the Cubans cannot bend. The entire history has been a history of struggle against colonialism and now unbridled capitalism. So the Cubans are not going to bend. And so it's really a waste of time to keep on pressuring them because that Cuban population is never going to yield.
Do you think the Venezuelans have the same strength and tenacity as the Cubans, given their current situation with the United States?
The Venezuelans have the same strength and tenacity. The difference with Venezuela and Cuba is that there are some subtleties, some subtle differences in terms of their political organization. So Cuban political organization is one thing, Venezuelan political organization is another thing. So there are subtle differences. But the Venezuelans also have a serious history of struggle against the yoke of colonialism. And so the Venezuelans also are going to continue to hold steadfast. Remember, they are the children of Simon Bolivar. And all they have known has been many years of struggle. Chavez brought a little respite. Chavez brought a time of a greater enjoyment of economic development and economic growth to the people in general. Chavez brought that. But that has again been taken away to the extent that the economic sanctions by the United States have practically tried to destroy the Venezuelan economy. But as you would have observed, Venezuela continues to stay strong. They continue to struggle. They continue to float. So it's also useless to try to beat down the children of Bolivar. They are not going to fail.
Do you think that Venezuela is at the epicenter of a sort of a resource grab, a worldwide resource grab, with the United States on one side and China and Russia on the other side? That they're sort of, for their sake, they're sort of being buoyed by a China and Russia still supporting them?
Well, that's a bit of a difficult question, because I wouldn't say they are the center of resource grab in terms of the countries you mentioned. They are certainly the target of a resource grab by multinationals in the United States. As you know, Venezuela has the world's most abundant proven resources of petroleum, what we call hydrocarbons, of course. And so there's that interest in Venezuela's resources. Venezuela also has abundant sources of other very useful minerals that are critical to economic development. And so, there is a grab by multinational corporations who think they have a right to Venezuela's resources. The beauty of the presence of the other countries is that the presence of China and Russia and other countries is forcing a semblance of a balance in the relations between these countries. Because we are at the stage in world history where people will not accept anymore the absolute hegemony of one country. And so China's and Russia's presence in Venezuela is a vital stabilizing factor. In fact, I can tell you that if the Russians and the Chinese had not entered Venezuela, they would have invaded the country a long time ago, the forces of Guaido, with the North, Colombia, Brazil. They would have invaded Venezuela by now, and that would have been catastrophic. So China's and Russia's presence forces the balance that we see taking place right now. In fact, I must also say to you, since you mentioned Russia and China, at the global level, the resurgence of the Russian economy and the continuing emergence of the powerful Chinese economy is also forcing that global balance that we need to avoid a World War III. And so I believe these are important forces that are practically being engineered by the Most High, God himself, to avoid a World War III, because you know World War III is going to be the end of it all. So I think these are the factors that we have to analyze when we look at the developments we see.
And I suppose that's also playing out in Syria as well, with the Americans sort of backing away. Absolutely. Regarding that situation with Turkey.
Absolutely. And since you mentioned Syria, let me just take a moment to say that if there's one thing we need to do as St. Lucians and as Caribbean people and so on, is to read more deeply about these events. You know, we really don't read. We really don't inform ourselves about what's going on. The situation in northeastern Syria right now is a very important situation, and I wish sometimes our people would read these things and get more informed.
Certainly. How important is international relations, you would say, to a small island developing state that really does not have the ability to project itself very far?
International relations are vital for small island development states. And like you say, we don't have the ability to project ourselves as we would like. And so, international relations are critical. But this is where CARICOM comes in. And this is where the various groups of countries come in. Because in unity, there is strength. So when CARICOM was founded many years ago, that was a masterstroke by four very bright Caribbean people. You know, you remember it was Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, Barbados and Cuba, and Guyana. Mm-hmm. And then later on, they embraced Cuba. Cuba can't be a member of CARICOM because we have not gotten to that stage. with Cuba as a friend of CARICOM. Yes, absolutely. International relations are vital. We have to be involved. But to be involved in a viable manner, we have to be involved in blocs. And you notice that even the developed countries, they form the blocs as well.
Do you think we need a common foreign policy in CARICOM? We've seen quite recently this year, persons going rogue, a number of Caribbean countries guided by their own leaders and their own political ideologies have gone against what has been a CARICOM position.
We do need a common position, and this is what CARICOM is all about, dealing with the international community as a group of states. Without a common position, we will be eaten up like little sardines. And even at the OECS level, colleagues, you see the numerous achievements of the OECS as a grouping. So we do need the common positions. We have a lot of common positions. Unfortunately, as I've said before, there are aberrations in politics. And in the case of St. Lucia, for example, one of the aberrations is that we now have a prime minister who doesn't really understand international relations. And so when we went, to use your word, rogue, and we ended up in Mar-a-Lago in discussions with Trump concerning Venezuela, when such discussions should have been held in the CARICOM ambit with Venezuela, we are making big mistakes.
And we joined the Lima Group.
We joined the Lima Group.
Forgot about the Montevideo agreement.
I have been on record saying that I'm sure the officials, the relevant officials in our country, did not even read the Lima Group accord or whatever it is that drives them. So we find ourselves always at a disadvantage when we don't work in unity with each other as the 15 member states of CARICOM. And so it was very unfortunate that we had four Caribbean states sitting in Mar-a-Lago talking to Trump about Venezuela when we already have a mechanism that we established many years ago to handle such matters. It was very unfortunate, and it cannot be for the benefit of St. Lucia or for Trinidad or for Haiti. It cannot be to the benefit.
You made an interesting statement regarding you don't think that the Prime Minister understands foreign policy. Back in 2016, when he was the UWP leader, just on the eve of the general election at an economic forum, he said that St. Lucia was spending way too much money on its foreign missions. And in fact, at that time, he promised to close down the foreign missions of St. Lucia for a five-year period. Your thought on that?
That's what we call petty politics. It is the sort of convenient postures that some politicians take at campaign time. We must remember that after campaigning, there has to be something called governing. And so such a statement was just petty, purely petty politicking. There was no truth to it. The present prime minister knew when he was making that statement that it was hogwash. He knew that. He knew he should not be making the statement, but it would seem attractive to partisans and to people who only see politics in terms of ideology. It would seem attractive to them at the time, as so many other promises that were made. There were numerous promises made, the promises about resolving crime, when he knew very well he should not have been making those statements.
How do you see right now our foreign missions operating? How do you see them?
I have not studied the foreign missions operations well, to be honest, colleagues. I have been engaged in matters more at the regional level. So I could not make a judgment call on their present operations. What I can tell you is the foreign missions are important. They have to perform a role, but they have to be qualified. They have to be staffed by qualified people, colleagues. One of the problems we have in St. Lucia, an error we've been making for too many decades, is that we just take square pegs and put them in round holes in our embassies, and that cannot be right. The people of St. Lucia deserve better than that. It is not right to just take your friend and make him a head of a mission. It's just not right. And colleagues, as long as we continue to do that, we are not going to be developing our country properly.
We're going to have to take a break at this point in time for the weather. Of course, I think a lot of people do want to know about the weather situation today. But when we come back, of course, we'll begin discussing the whole issue about that letter you wrote to the European Union. So we'll be right back.
Fritas! Come and get your fritas here! He's giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Bat!
So are you mad? What do you mean, fritas?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles free!
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal! And good timing too! So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas! And look how nice those tiles are!
Fritas! Fritas! Ceramic tiles! Porcelain tiles! All tiles! No exception! Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4, or call 452-450 or 453 Tile!
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shamari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
And now, we take a look at the latest weather report as of 12 noon today. It's the 30th of October, 2019, and our forecast at this hour, Vigil Saltibus. The present weather at Huronera, partly cloudy with thunderstorms and light rain. And at George Charles, it is cloudy with showers. The present temperature at Huronera, 28 degrees Celsius or 82 degrees Fahrenheit. And last night's minimum temperature at Huronera was 24 degrees Celsius or 75 degrees Fahrenheit. The wind at Huronera is blowing from the, well, northeasterly at 20 miles per hour or 31 kilometers. And after a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., 16.7 millimeters of rainfall was recorded. And at George Charles, 2.4 millimeters was recorded. The total rainfall for the month of October thus far, 86.6 millimeters at Huronera and 130.1 millimeters at George Charles. Sun will set today, 24 minutes before 6, and rise in the morning at 2 minutes before 6. Time now for the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds will be blowing between the southeast and the east, near 14 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. And the weather, partly cloudy to cloudy skies with some scattered moderate to heavy showers and isolated thunderstorms. So a recap again of the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. Winds blowing between the southeast and the east, near 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. And the weather, partly cloudy to cloudy skies with some scattered moderate to heavy showers and isolated thunderstorms. As a result, residents and motorists in areas prone to flooding and landslides are advised to exercise caution. So please take note and be guided. Marine forecast for seas in a 25-mile or 40-kilometer radius from St. Lucia. The high tide for the Castries Harbour will be at 14 before 5 this afternoon, and the low tide will be at 21 before midnight. Presently, we are experiencing low tide at the Vierfort Bay, and the high tide will be at 7 minutes before 6 this evening. The seas are moderate to locally rough with waves and northerly to northeasterly swells of 5 to 8 feet, the same as 1.5 to 2.4 meters in open waters. Small craft operators and seabeaters are advised to exercise caution due to rough seas. Again, pay attention, be guided by these advisories. For the Lesser Antilles, it's partly cloudy to cloudy skies with scattered showers and possibly isolated thunderstorms across the Windward Islands. And elsewhere will be fair skies becoming cloudy at times with a few showers. And our tropical weather outlook, moisture and instability associated with a shear line will generate cloudy periods with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms, mainly over the Windward Islands during the next 24 hours. And a tropical wave located over the central tropical Atlantic is moving westward near 12 miles per hour or 19 kilometers and is expected to affect the Lesser Antilles by Friday. And a second tropical wave over the central tropical Atlantic is moving westward near 12 miles per hour or 19 kilometers. A recap of the tropical weather outlook. Moisture and instability associated with a shear line will generate cloudy periods with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms, mainly over the Windward Islands during the next 24 hours. And a tropical wave over the central tropical Atlantic is moving westward near 12 miles per hour or 19 kilometers and is expected to affect the Lesser Antilles by Friday. A second tropical wave located over the central tropical Atlantic is moving westward as well, near 12 miles per hour or 19 kilometers. That is the official weather report. Thank you, Vigil, for the update at this hour. Join us again in the morning at around 6:30. Our next official report will be due from the Met Service. The weather was made possible by Island Style Talent Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Free tires, free tires! Come and get your free tires here! We're giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Bat!
So, are you mad? What do you mean, free tires?
Well, madam, for every 100 tires you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tires free!
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow! That's a deal! And good timing too! So, I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas! And look how nice those tires are!
Free tires, free tires! Ceramic tires, porcelain tires, all tires, no exception! Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cass Trees, and Latoni, View 4, or call 452-450 or 453 Tiles!
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer Batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer Brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2. 2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. Now, of course, we'd like to take your calls as well. So if you would like to call in, you can do so from now. Our number is 452-3046. It is 452-3046. And you can also try our WhatsApp platform at 724-0008. That is 724-0008. And our fixed line, 452-3046. Now, of course, we are speaking with Mr. Peter Lansico, a former diplomat for the government of St. Lucia, trained economist as well. And we were speaking generally about some geopolitics and where St. Lucia stands in that and the need, of course, for CARICOM solidarity. But we also know, Mr. Lansico, that we depend quite heavily on international development assistance, overseas development assistance, particularly from the European Union. We've heard some statements being made from the European Union of late. We know, for instance, of the largest donation that they've made in the Eastern Caribbean, that being the Owen King EU Hospital, somewhere in the region of about 40 million euros, over 140 million EC dollars for a single project, a general hospital for St. Lucia. We saw statements, and in fact, a visit by the European Union quite recently to that facility since I think the development agreement was finally signed, the financing agreement was signed in 2006, and we are now in 2019, and that facility still has not yet been fully open. What are your thoughts about the situation with regard the Owen King EU Hospital?
Well, colleagues, I made my thoughts very clear recently in the letter. That letter was straight from the heart. I wrote that letter both as an economist and as an international relations person. And so the letter you would have found would have been very detailed, and I think people have said very profound.
But tell us a little bit about the letter, because you wrote this letter to the European Union representative based in Barbados.
Right.
And what was the contents about?
Basically, I was expressing my dismay, my very deep dismay, with the fact that a gift from the European Union, and that would be the single biggest gift we ever received as a nation, as St. Lucia, a gift from the European Union to the poor taxpayers of St. Lucia, the struggling people of St. Lucia, is about to be handed over to a businessman. This is basically my contention. They are taking a hospital which is designed to serve the people of St. Lucia as what would have been the next Victoria Hospital in that sense, the next big general hospital for the people of St. Lucia, and turning it into a private business, in effect, another Tapia Hospital. We cannot countenance that. This cannot be good for us. We don't need another private hospital of the magnitude of the OKEU. What we need is another national hospital to serve the struggling people of St. Lucia. And so I had to express my dismay about the matter, because the reality is, colleagues, we are a small island with less than 200,000 people, and the European taxpayer generally doesn't even know about St. Lucia. But it's their money that finance the construction of the hospital. And so they have to know what happened to their money. And being the person I am, I thought I should take it to their attention. The lady I addressed the letter to, Ambassador Daniela Tramake, she's a diplomat I know in Barbados. I knew she was the one I should be addressing such a concern to. And I put together my thoughts straight from the heart to explain that she needed to bring this matter to the attention of the European Union taxpayer. On the EDF, European Development Fund, financing, on the EDF financing, when the Europeans finance a project in your country, the project is meant for the benefit of the people, not for the benefit of a businessman. So you cannot take the people's hospital that they have constructed for the struggling people of St. Lucia and make it a private sector enterprise. No. That is unacceptable. And that is also clearly a violation of the understanding of European development financing. I explained in the letter that there were two very important principles. I spoke of a third principle, but let's dwell on just two for now. The principle of the alleviation of poverty. The hospital, while it takes care of our health care in St. Lucia, it is also supposed to contribute to the alleviation and the eradication of poverty. The eradication of poverty is one of the fundamental underpinning principles right now of European development financial assistance to poor countries.
And the understanding is that there's to be universal access to that facility, so that, in fact, nobody would be told that they can't go to the hospital. Is that what you're getting at?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. You cannot put the hospital into the hands of a businessman, and then the people who are supposed to benefit from the hospital, shy away from it, or they don't go to it because they don't have the money. How many people go to Tapio Hospital at this point in time? Most St. Lucians can't go to Tapio Hospital. There are some who can afford it, but most cannot. And so you cannot come and create another Tapio in our country when that was a gift to the people of St. Lucia. So that was my contention. On the matter of human rights, it is also a violation of the human rights of St. Lucians. It is our human right to be able to enjoy a hospital that was built for us by the European taxpayer. And so that high-handed approach, you high-handedly taking the people's hospital and putting it into the hands of something you call Cayman Corporation, it is not only high-handed, like I said in my letter, it is also a slap to the collective faces of the people of St. Lucia. And this is why I've been so passionate about it.
Just hold your thoughts just for a minute so we can take in a call. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Good afternoon. Let me thank you, and let me also thank your guests for being explaining to us what he has done for St. Lucia, which I find some St. Lucian have not been grateful to him, but I want to ask him a question. What is the next big thing he intend to do for St. Lucia, thinking of coming into the politics? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, caller. Go right ahead, Mr. Caller,
that's a very important question. Thank you. The next big thing I intend to do for St. Lucia in politics will be dictated by what people decide that they want. I want to tell you straight off the bat that I'm one of those guys who's not going to come and make promises that I cannot keep. Whatever has to be done for a particular constituency has to be done based on discussions and consultations with people in the constituency. There is no panacea for development or for the resolution of problems in any constituency. So to respond to your question, what I'm doing now as I speak is I am involved in the constituency, consulting with my people, touching base with people. It's a long, hard process, but I'm involved in it. I'm on the ground. I came back to St. Lucia in December, and since then I've been on the ground trying to reinsert myself. But whatever can be done will be done based on the basis of consultations with people, knowing what people need, what people want to be done. I have a good idea, but to get to that stage, it will be based on consultations and respectful discussions with my brothers and sisters in the constituency. Thank you for your...
But coming back to the whole issue of the Owen King EU Hospital, how do you see this actually playing out? There was a response, I understand, from the European Union representative in Barbados. Could you share that with us as to what their position is?
The ambassador responded very diplomatically, of course. As diplomats, we are trained to speak and to write diplomatically as a requisite of our profession. So the ambassador responded very nicely, very professionally, and very diplomatically. What the ambassador has done by responding is, one, she's showing some respect for a St. Lucian who has brought such a concern to the public. She's showing some respect, and I commend her for it. And that's the sort of person she is. She would have responded in the manner that she did. Two, she's also showing the European taxpayers that she has responded as necessary to a legitimate concern by a St. Lucian who is aggrieved with the high-handed manner in which the government of St. Lucia is about to take the people's hospital and put it into the hands of a private businessman. So she's also responding to that concern very diplomatically. You notice she never mentioned me. She never said she wouldn't have. She would not have. And thirdly, she's sensitizing Director Mansavisi, Director Stefano Mansavisi in Brussels. She's sensitizing him about this particular matter, and she's making it clear that she's aware of the concerns of this St. Lucian. I'm sure she is aware that the concern I have is a concern which should be shared by the vast majority of people in St. Lucia.
Do you think other individuals should be writing as well to the EU, expressing their concerns regarding the situation with the OKEU hospital?
Of course. Many St. Lucians should be writing about matters like that. But let me explain a little thing to you, colleagues, which I'm sure you're aware of. Most people are usually afraid to tread along those paths because people victimize so easily. There are many, many people who want to speak their minds and say, hey, this is not right. But they are afraid for many reasons, understandable reasons. What I can tell you, colleagues, is that thousands and thousands of people respond to me on matters like this when I raise them. So clearly, there are many people out there who also want to speak, but who don't speak for different reasons.
I think in the response from the EU, there was an indication that there's going to be a follow-up visit in January of 2020. What would you hope to come out of that?
Well, when the delegation comes again in January, the government would be being a little more keenly aware of the concern that was expressed by St. Lucian, in this case myself. So the government will be under some pressure to do what they have to do. I think you are aware, colleagues, that the ambassador, the head of the delegation who came to visit, he was very displeased with what was going on. Like I said in my letter, he would have put up a diplomatic front and a diplomatic face, but he would have been crying inside. I mean, the Europeans have spent well over 100 million EC dollars. On which note, let me apologize to the people of St. Lucia and to everyone who has read my letter to say that it was not about 20 million euros. It was more like 40 million euros, a little more than 40 million euros, which brought the figure to well over 100 million EC dollars. So I wanted to take this opportunity to apologize to the people for using the wrong figure.
Now, why do you think the government, or any government, would not want to see a facility so critical to a populace be delivered in a quick time? We've been waiting for quite some time. We've heard of a number of delays. Is there something more under this that is driving this delay of opening the Owen King E Hospital, in your opinion?
I obviously don't know of the intricate details behind closed doors. But what I can tell you is, when governments blunder like this, it is usually when they don't have a plan, or they don't have a program, or they don't have clearly set out schedules for delivering services to the people. That's the only reason governments make those blunders, because if you don't have a plan, you're going to fail. You remember the beautiful phrase, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. So that's one of the reasons. But there's another fundamental reason, an even more fundamental one. St. Lucians have observed that many guys in politics, when they enter politics and they get some power, they begin to get sidetracked from serving the people to serving themselves. And so many politicians become businessmen. Many politicians in power become businessmen.
Power brokers.
They become power brokers. And so now they have their own interests as well. You know, so suddenly you get sidetracked. You're not focusing on the people's problem anymore. You're focusing on building your business. And this is one of the reasons we have to always agitate in situations like this. Do you know, you don't need to answer that question, colleagues, but do you know that there are several powerful politicians in this country who are not big businessmen? I'm reliably informed. And so when you get sidetracked like this, you don't really care about serving the people anymore. You're looking to see where you can put your hand in. You're looking to see where you can get some shares, where you can invest. And in fact, the perception is that the so-called Cayman Health Corporation is a front. It is a front. It is not genuine. It is certain top officials who are going to become the shareholders in that hospital if they get to privatize it.
You're suggesting that people are trying to make money on healthcare and the back end?
I am suggesting that there's tremendous bubble in the making. I'm suggesting that there's a bubble list and people are just about grabbing everything they can from the various sectors of the national economy. Powerful people in politics.
You think the government made a big error in a lot of the realignments that they did when they immediately came in? I mean, for instance, Stephen King was in charge of the transition for the hospital from VH to Owen King EU Hospital. They stopped the St. Jude Hospital project, which was already in train. Do you think, had they just perhaps allowed these projects to have just gone through to completion, that they would have been in a better position today?
The government would have been smiling like a newborn baby today if they had just completed the projects that they had found. This philosophy of stopping a project that was done by a previous regime and starting your project is bad. Not only is it bad, it is criminal.
Let's take in a call at this point in time. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hey, good afternoon. I was just tuning in and I was just listening to your guest saying that many politicians go into politics and then become businessmen and they start serving their interests. When it says many, I think that would just give an indication as to what people to go into politics for. Because honestly, in my opinion, that is the only reason people go into politics.
You think that's the only reason, caller? Wow. Okay.
Sorry?
Yes, I said that's a huge indictment on the entire...
No, you just said many. Mm-hmm. You just said many. So I'm just going on from that. Mm-hmm. He says many of them do it. So, and in all honesty, I do believe he's very 100% correct with that. They might have the one or two that would probably have a personal reason that they want to see fulfilled, whether it be a piece of legislation or maybe to do something in their community that was bothering them. But the majority is literally, and like they say, a rich person might go into politics because your money can only take you so far. And then, because there are some places you cannot pay to enter, you need a title, and then you get that. And that is across the board. You know, whether it be a baker trying and he's popular enough, then when he gets in there, then he starts looking to see where he can make extra. And that is just, and we know, and that's the thing about it. We know these things. We're just dancing around it, and some people want to pretend and, you know, try and deflect in other areas, but it is general knowledge. It's accepted, but then again, it's all a whole bunch of mirrors to show what people want to show. But that's what it is on both sides. It doesn't matter.
Thank you.
And again, like I said, to put policies in place to serve their gain. Mm-hmm. And when they get out, at least they know they put something in there. Because nobody goes in there to serve the country. That's like a side show. The whole serving the country thing is a side show. I'll go in there, I'll put some things. Yes, if the country benefits, the country benefits. But the number one reason is for self-service.
Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much. Very, very interesting point. I'm pretty certain that perhaps many other solutions feel the same way as this caller, that the entire political system is susceptible to corruption, and some may say is in fact corrupt. We've heard of a number of promises over the years, but yet still we're not seeing any action on the corruption. We're not seeing any action in terms of issues like campaign financing. Where do you see that coming out? I'm assuming that you have an interest in politics and you may want to get in there. Is that something that you think needs to be tackled as an absolute priority?
Yeah, you are right. And the caller raised some very valuable points. And with due respect, we must respond properly to his points. Yes, there are a lot of issues that have to be tackled properly. You mentioned campaign financing in particular. I would like to just speak about it briefly. Indeed, it is an issue to be tackled, because you see what has happened today and is happening too often now. Money just seems to be what drives everything in the politics now, and that's not right. Because what happens with that is many decent people, honest people who would like to serve, cannot serve because they just can't raise the funds. Money becomes too important. And so politicians are bought out. You know, certain politicians are bought out.
Do you fear that the next election might be up for the highest bidder? Whoever can...
Well, I try to confront that question every day on the streets. But what happens is I have faith in solutions. I have an abiding faith in my people. And I tell people that if you think you will just continue to buy people, just buy them out and just buy their votes and win an election, if you think you will continue to do that ad infinitum, you're going to be in for a rude awakening.
We have a few calls coming in. Let's try to check them in. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Yes, good afternoon, colleagues. Good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon, caller. And please be brief.
Yes, well, I was just worried about how cynical the previous caller was. And wants to label every politician as essentially coming in there and, to see about themselves and like any interest in the state in the, doing anything for the state or development of the country is by the way. Okay? I believe they have. We have had a history of a lot of that. I'm not saying no, okay? A lot of that. But there are some politicians that stood out who have not, I mean, you can see by their lifestyle and whatever, that they came in ready to do something for the country. Okay? Alan Buske stands out, George, the Odlum brothers, stand out, people like Kissy Lee, Bell and John, you know, and the like. Okay? These people, I mean, they have retired, and we can now look back at history and see, you know, like they have no hidden assets, nothing. So, you know, it's been very cynical to say that, you know, and it's a convenient excuse used by most times the United Workers Party supporters because they are upset with what the government is doing. Instead of admitting to it and seeing that they get out and we put some proper government in place, they use that as an excuse. Oh, all of them do it. You understand? So, you know, I'm very concerned about the cynicism that he has expressed. And I believe there are people, genuine people out there, who want to come in and do something for the country. And I think, you know, what we need to do now is ask more questions, have more meetings out there in the public where people can question you. And, you know, people should come organized. If the Labour Party has a town hall meeting or UWP has a meeting like that, we have to come organized with the questions that we're going to ask people. So we can probably fill you out before we vote for you. But in where we have is that the party picks somebody and everybody just runs behind and say, oh, well, that's a candidate, and we're just going to support them no matter what. And I think that needs to change.
Okay, thank you very much, caller. Any thoughts there? We don't have very much time left, so we actually do need to wrap up.
I can tell you very quickly that I'm very happy to receive that call from, of course, Azzy Alexander. I knew his voice very well. We grew up together as little boys in RC Boys School, my buddy. And he's making a very important point. He's saying it's not right to just put everybody into the big basket, to just blame all politicians as crooks and so on. Azzy's right. The other caller, the caller before Azzy, was making a point. It's also an important
point.
Let's
try to get in at least one more call in here. Yeah. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Yeah, well, again, I'll be brief. Like I said, there were a few, one or two, and like he was almost at pains to come up with five.
Oh, you're calling in again, caller. Okay.
Yes, for the whole history of our politics.
We don't have to defend yourself. It's fine.
Five names.
It's fine. So, it's fine.
He actually agreed with me that 1-2, a 1-2, which is what I said, and I'm going to stand by it, a 1-2.
You all have our rights for our view. No need to defend yourself. Thank you very much. Let's try to take another call very quickly. Good afternoon, and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today? Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, caller. Please be brief.
I think the gentleman was right. It's not all politicians are greedy and out there to take for themselves. I think some come with good intentions, but they just lost their way along the line. But I think some are genuine. And I don't think we should label everybody as the same. I think that maybe what is happening right now is what's causing people to, you know, call all politicians greedy. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much. But I do believe, though, in fairness to the gentleman who did make his point, there are a number of people out there that is the belief that they have, that in fact it is a corrupt system and that they just simply have no confidence in it. Mr. Lansico, your parting thoughts? I mean, in fact, the potential impact of Brexit on EU relations as well being one of them. But your parting thoughts, sir?
Well, I'm so sorry we could not speak on more stuff. And it's interesting you mentioned Brexit. I would have had I could have written a book on Brexit today in the lunchroom to share with my St. Lucian brothers and sisters. But yes, my parting thoughts are that, number one, I look forward to St. Lucians keeping alert, St. Lucians keeping vigilant. There is no way we must ever allow our gift from the European Union taxpayers, this beautiful edifice that has now been constructed at the Millennium Highway, to get into private hands. We must not allow it to happen, and we will not allow it to happen. And we have sent a clear message to the so-called investors that they are wasting their time, because the people of St. Lucia will never allow a gift like this to be made like another Tapio Hospital. I have no problem with Tapio Hospital. I embrace Tapio Hospital, but Tapio Hospital is for people who can afford to go to Tapio Hospital. The OKEU Hospital is the people's hospital. It is the property of the people of St. Lucia. It is a gift from the European taxpayer, and we must not, will not ever tolerate that such a gift could be made the property of a private businessman. Too many St. Lucians will continue without healthcare underscore. In fact, Calixt, you saw how St. Lucians flocked like birds. Like birds. My people were flocking like birds when the American hospital ship came. St. Lucia cannot continue to live that like that. St. Lucians must not continue to live like this. We deserve better. So many hundreds of millions of dollars from our treasury are being spent on fly-by-night projects, are being spent in so many crazy projects. We don't see the benefits from these projects. There are no benefits from these projects. The latest is the DSA saying this is going to be a disaster because that's yet another product of something that did not come with any serious long-term plan. St. Lucians will not tolerate, we will not sit by while our hospital is privatized. It's not going to happen. These are my parting thoughts, colleagues, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Peter Lansico, former diplomat and trained economist. Thank you very much for your passion there. And, of course, maybe we can have you back to discuss that whole issue with Brexit as well at some point in the future. And thank you very much, listeners and callers, of course, for making the show possible. And we hope that you'll be able to join us tomorrow, Thursday. And my guest will be a call-in guest, Miss Safia Paul, whose birthday is today. And she's become a bit of a St. Lucian human rights activist over in Dallas, Texas. She'll be sharing that experience with us. And thank you very much. We hope you have a pleasant day. Keep dry as possible. And of course, there's also the funeral service of Mother Abbess Mariana Pinto, which is supposed to occur at 2 o'clock up at Kubari as well. So thank you and have a good one.